This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Station. The workday is coming to an end.
It is 5 o'clock. I will see you all tomorrow.
But Gwen and Chris are just getting started.
Sports talk it is.
Your hosts, Tony Gwynn Jr.
You know what? It is okay.
Just to say you don't know.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't know, Chris.
And Chris Ello.
So I've seen the Rockies hit on the road. They can't hit on the road. They'll be lucky to score a run.
It's time to get you up to speed on all things sports.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
With plenty of nonsense in between.
Oh, look! Here comes our fearless producer!
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hi, welcome into hour number two of Gwen and Chris for a Monday, full four-hour show today, then the Scraby Chronicles. Check in. Scraby Chronicles from 6 to 7 o'clock this evening. Gwen and Chris until then. Tony Gwynn Jr. is off today. Padres have the day off today. They'll take on the Seattle Mariners tomorrow. Thank goodness for that. I've been pining, Scraby, for the return of the matchup between these two great geographic rivals.
Natural rivals,
yes, yeah. The Padres and Mariners.
Yeah.
Meeting for the first time this season. You know, tomorrow, it's like the momentum of like USC, UCLA, or Michigan, Ohio State, or Alabama, Auburn, or Mariners, Padres.
Yeah.
Has the same ring to it,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
I don't get it, but alas, the Mariners are coming in for the two-game series tomorrow.
A good team?
They're in first place in their division, only by a couple of games over the Astros. Mariners and Padres have basically the same record. It's just that the Padres play in a division with the Dodgers, and so the Padres are 7.5 back. Got to within 6.5 there for just a moment on, I think, Friday night. I was like, really? Am I going to have to start announcing how close we are to the Dodgers?
Hey, it's getting closer and closer, Chris.
We'll see. We will see.
These last two losses over the weekend didn't help anything.
Well, you know, you're not going to win them all.
I know you're not going to win them all, and I'm not going to be mad about a series loss at all. I'm not. But it just, I was loving seeing all those wins, and I know everybody was too, but it was a little disappointing how the weekend ended.
For a team that, you know, is injury-ravaged, roller coaster riding, can't hit lefties for 2.5 months, you know, the thing is going okay.
It is.
And then on the other side, there is, we've got 5 all-stars. And that doesn't include Manny Machado, who is starting to go, you know, Manny on us.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. We've got Higashioka, who's not an all-star, but has had as good a hitting month as anybody in baseball.
And it's extended into July now.
You know, we've got all of that. And then, you know, some other stuff. And we're not more than 4 games over 500. So there's 2 ways of looking at it. Glass half full, glass half empty. Scraby thinks I'm looking at a glass half empty.
No.
And I don't know that I am.
No, you're looking at a glass half full, though. You're positive, aren't you?
I think for the most part I've been. You know, we've hung in there with this team. I mean, it's not been easy. They've made it difficult on us from time to time, but what was this string? They won 12 out of 15 games.
It's really good.
That's a great run. Now, you know, you don't want to give it back. Don't want to give it back this week. So you got to take care of the Mariners and then the Braves over the next 5 days. And then, you know, it'll be the All-Star break, and then it'll just be all crazy.
Pandemonium schedule-wise.
Pandemonium schedule-wise. After the All-Star break, don't look now. But the Padres have what I would consider to be a, you know, on paper, a difficult start.
Guardians.
They're at Cleveland, at Washington, which is going to be, should be must-watch TV.
By the way, did you see what Jesse Winker did on his July 4th celebration? He hit the game-winning home run in the eighth.
Okay.
And he walked around in a Uncle Sam hat and a American flag jacket for like two innings or whatever.
Okay.
I thought you weren't supposed to celebrate home runs, but yeah.
Well, I'm just saying that Washington series is going to be interesting to say the least. So at Cleveland, at Washington, then at Baltimore. And then when they get home after the All-Star break, first team in is the Dodgers. So it's going to be a big stretch after the All-Star break. And already this bit of bad news. The first game after the All-Star break at Cleveland is an Apple TV game.
Ugh. Okay, can we talk about this for a second? I don't know how to do this without sounding like I'm 9,000 years old, but
you sound like me.
I can find these things. I can be okay with it, but you are 100% telling your fans you do not care if you watch your local team. Because you have to go find it on Roku. And last year it was the Peacock game. Remember that, Chris? When they would do the Peacock game, it was like super early in the morning.
I just gave up on those games, right?
Exactly. I didn't even bother. That's the problem. If you want to grow this game, stop making it so hard to watch the game.
They think that they're doing the right thing. One thing that most people do watch is the Home Run Derby. A couple of additions to that in the recent hours. Marcelo Ozuna, I think you'd already heard about that.
Yeah.
He's going to join along with Alec Bohm and Pete Alonso.
You got to have him.
Those are National League guys. And then there's a couple of American League guys that have committed. One is your guy, your favorite guy in baseball, Bobby Witt Jr.
He's a local guy, so
look out for him screwing up his swing for the second half.
That's the first thing I thought of, Chris.
I know. And then Gunnar Henderson is the other one. So those are the five that have been announced. There's still a few more to come on the Home Run Derby. Big dealings at Wimbledon today. We'll talk more about this in the Daily Gambit, which we'll do in the next segment. But our guy from Torrey Pines, the guy who we can never get a hold of, who for some reason just doesn't want to be interviewed by his hometown radio station, and it drives me crazy. But he is from San Diego. He's a former CIF champ. And today, Taylor Fritz pulled off maybe his greatest win ever as a professional, taking on fifth seed Alexei Zverev in the round of 16 at Wimbledon. Fritz was down two sets to love, came back to sweep the final three sets and move into the quarterfinals. So good luck to Taylor Fritz. He is one match away from meeting Djokovic in the semifinals.
There you go.
So that could be a big moment for Taylor Fritz, but that was a good moment for him to be able to do that. You don't watch Wimbledon, right? Am I alone in that?
I'll watch the later rounds.
Well, we're getting there. Coco Gauff got knocked out yesterday. There's a new already. You know, Coco Gauff is young, right? It's not like she's over the hill.
No.
But there's somebody else coming now, to a younger American trying to push her out of the way. Emma Navarro, who's a young player from the University of Virginia, ranked number 19th in the world. She toyed with Coco Gauff yesterday in the round of 16. It wasn't even close. So Navarro moves into the quarterfinals, and Coco Gauff goes home. Anyway, I like watching Wimbledon, and so there's your Wimbledon update.
Thank you.
Are you watching the have you started
watching? Are you kidding me?
No. Have you started watching the Hard Knocks out of season? Are you into this yet? Really? Why did they get a buzzer?
Well, are we talking about the actual Hard Knocks show like they traditionally do?
Yeah, Hard Knocks out of season, the New York Giants. It was on last week. It's already been on.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah.
Are you being serious? It's the beginning of July. I thought this stuff doesn't start until
No, they had the first
camp.
They had the first Hard Knocks episode. It's all about the New York Giants and what they're doing this off season. And, you know, so it follows the general manager and it follows the scouts and it follows the personnel people and them going to all the combines and making trades.
So that's a new addition because we've never seen that.
Yes, it's a totally new addition.
Okay, I like that. I like that. They're actually thinking, hey, we need to change this up a little bit.
Well, that's what they're doing. The New York Giants GM, already on my negative list.
What's his name?
I don't care. I don't know. I can't remember it, honestly. He's kind of a new guy. Sorry, Giant fans.
Joe Shane.
Thank you. They have Joe Shane on the first episode. They're following him around, and they're in the car. And they're interviewing.
Uh-oh.
And the first thing Joe Shane says is, don't ask me to put on sports talk radio. I don't even know where the sports talk radio shows are located. If you wanted to listen to sports talk, I couldn't even tell you where to begin.
That's all good.
Guess what, Joe? I guarantee you're hearing what those people in New York are saying about you. And what they're saying about you is that you better turn that franchise around quickly.
Yeah, and he's probably...
Because last year was a stink season for the New York Giants, and you got a lousy quarterback, and... You've got issues there for sure.
I think that he's probably pretty smart by not knowing where the sports talk stations
smart.
Are.
I just don't believe him.
I don't think he's actually physically listening to the show, but Tua said something in an interview one time that I will always remember. It was brought up like he gained weight or something and he was slow. And so a reporter asked, and he was like, yeah, you know what's crazy is that, you know, one of the PR people has to update me on these lies all the time. So they are, what I'm saying is they are
get the
hearing
word.
It.
Yeah, they get the word.
Yeah.
Giants traded Saquon Barkley, which hasn't happened yet in the show. But it, you know, this is the kind of thing
like,
that,
huh?
In the show, it hasn't happened yet because they're going back to January.
Okay.
But that was the big offseason move for the Giants, trading away their best player.
All right. I'm going to go watch.
So good luck
later.
To the Giants having that all work out.
Yeah. I don't know about the team selection.
Have you, you know, one thing I realized as I was watching this is I don't know what team anybody's on anymore.
Like
where's, where's Austin Eckler?
Commanders.
Commanders.
Yeah.
And where's Saquon Barkley?
Eagles. Yeah.
And where's Deuce Staley?
Coaching somewhere else?
No, I don't know. Not Deuce Staley. I'm sorry. Who did I mean? Deshaun Swift. I don't know why I thought of Deuce Staley.
Oh, DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift. I thought of Deuce Staley because we had the young man's last name was Staley that was in there.
Ooh,
here
DeAndre Swift did get traded, didn't he?
Yeah, he's not with the Eagles anymore.
Where's he at?
Because the Eagles have Saquon Barkley.
That's a good one. DeAndre Swift is a good one.
You don't know where DeAndre Swift is. Do you know where Devin Singletary is?
He's not with Texans?
Giants.
Oh.
See, a lot of these guys change teams.
Swift is a Bears guy.
Swift is with the Bears. Where's Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, I know that one. Green Bay.
Yeah,
this
DeAndre
is
Swift
going.
To Chicago. I can't think of any more off the top of my head. But, I mean, I know it was running back carousel during the offseason. In the National Football League.
Tiki Barber had a... The reason
Who do the
I
Chargers
know,
have now? Who's their running back?
No one.
No, they have guys.
Oh, I mean, they don't have their bell cow yet.
Yes, they do.
They do?
As long as he stays healthy, and he's never healthy.
Who is
And if I draft him in fantasy, he'll get injured in the first game like he has the last 2 years.
Joshua Palmer?
J.K. Dobbins.
Oh,
Chargers.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
See? I mean, everybody's like, what did we just name? Six teams that changed running backs that fast? Where's Tony Pollard?
He is with the Titans.
He's with the Titans. And who is the number one running back for the Cowboys? I'll tell you who it says here in the depth chart.
His last
name's Elliott.
Zeke's back with the Cowboys?
Ezekiel Elliott, yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah. I don't know what the Cowboys are planning to do, if they're going to just go with him or... They got a couple of other guys, Deuce Vaughn and Rico Dowdle.
That's who I was thinking.
That's Rico who you were Dowdle. Thinking of?
Yes.
Good.
That is pretty crazy. I guess we've been so locked into baseball.
Who's the Minnesota Vikings lead running back now that they've changed?
It's not Madison.
No?
It's not, obviously, Dalvin Cook. I have no idea.
Aaron Jones from Green Bay went to Minnesota.
Really?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's like crazy.
I'm going to need to start researching for fantasy football soon.
I mean, I just started doing this kind of off the top of my head, but what got me wondering was when I was watching that show about the Giants, and they were talking about Saquon Barkley, and I was thinking, they don't even have him anymore. But I couldn't think of where he was, and then I couldn't think of who they ended up with. But it was Devin Singletary is who the Giants ended up with. The Giants are going nowhere fast. They're going nowhere fast.
Tiki Barber had a he basically called Austin Eckler, you know, a whiner because Austin Eckler wants to get paid, which I understand. He's stuck in a really tough spot. Running backs aren't being paid, and he's kind of past where his prime is, I guess. Teams are looking at it like that.
Right.
But it's like Tiki Barber basically said, you don't even want to carry the ball every down. Why are you asking to get paid if you're not willing to do all of the work?
All right.
And I kind of get that about the running back position. Like, Saquon Barkley's in there every single snap. Guys like that aren't.
You think that Saquon should be paid, but Austin Eckler should. Austin Eckler led the league in touchdowns like 5 years in a row.
A five-year dump out doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
A five-year screen isn't a touchdown pass. It's a glorified run.
Wow. All right. Sounds like a guy who tried to draft Austin Eckler and never could get
him. No, thankfully I've never done that.
What do you mean, thankfully? He's a really good guy in fantasy football.
I know. I'm trying
Austin Eckler's been great over the last
out of existence.
Years. All right, traffic, and then a check of the winners and losers, some Daily Gambit. Kind of a quiet Monday scoreboard, but we'll find some stuff for you on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it was fun playing a little running back roulette there, Scraby.
It was.
Getting us a little ready for the National Football League. Earlier, we were fortunate enough to have three players from the San Diego State football team in studio. They all did a great job.
Yeah,
really, really good. Kyle Crum, Jelani Whitmore, Dale Sean Staley, all checked in.
Huge fan now of all three of those guys.
Yep. Wishing nothing but the best for them and the Aztecs. Thanks to Greg Camarillo for bringing them in. Matt Snyder will be joining the program from CBS Sports shortly. Time now, though, for the Daily Gambit, Scrabe.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit's our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. We made the previous bets, Chris, way too long ago.
It was like a week ago.
Yeah.
So I've already spent all the money I earned.
Okay. Did you win? Is that what you're telling us?
I don't know. I'm wondering what people think when they're watching on the YouTube and we're in one of those
intros?
Moments,
yeah.
Like an intro.
Yeah.
And I always take that time to rearrange my papers in front of me.
I did notice you're moving
weird,
around over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm one of the weird people in the world who still write stuff down. Like, I use a pen and a piece of paper. I know that's foreign to a lot of people in this day and age.
I don't think that's that weird for this job.
But, yeah, I'm always sorting my papers out.
People well, that probably, is weird, yeah.
People probably watching on the YouTube are like, what is he doing? I don't think it's OCD is what it is. I have to have everything lined up properly before we get ready to do this segment.
It is it strange.
I don't have anything here to read. It doesn't help me speak, but it helps me be comfortable.
See, I have,
so I have
OCDs.
To organize everything.
I have OCDs, and I wish it was an organization thing.
Like, yeah.
I don't care about disorganization.
Yeah, I do.
I know you do, but yeah. There's other things I'm OCD. Like, I could leave my house mm-hmm. knowing that I locked the door.
Right. Oh, and you
telling myself I've locked the door.
Oh, that's OCD for sure, yeah.
Like,
that's
literally telling myself, hey, you have locked the
check.
Door.
You go back and check?
I don't do it anymore because I realize, but I used to go back and check.
Yeah. I know people that used to, not used to, probably still do. OCD, they drive over a bump in the road and convince themselves that they've run over a person.
Oh, no.
And have to go around the the block and
check. Oh,
my
gosh, really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
It can be a tremendously debilitating thing, OCD. And
wow.
For anybody out there, anybody out there, there's great help available.
Well, what's the movie with Jack Nicholson?
As good as it gets.
Yeah, he has to like wash his hands a certain number of mm-hmm. times before he can move on.
Can be tremendously debilitating.
No, it can't. It really,
really,
can.
Really can. All right, here we go with the Daily Gambit today. Start with some baseball. There's not much on the schedule today. Mets got beat by the Pirates 8-2 earlier. Cardinals are ahead of the Nats. Get an updated score here. 6-0 now. Favor the Cardinals over the Nats, bottom of the ninth. Cardinals, by the way, have passed the Padres in the wild card. They've been on a roll for quite a while. We've kind of haven't really even noticed it.
Yeah, because they started so terribly.
Yeah, they were at the bottom of the division. Now the Cardinals are doing well. All right.
Which is great. I love it, Chris. It's so good for baseball and the Cardinals do well. Sorry.
Their fans are getting annoying.
Oh, their fans.
Somebody brought this up. Was it you brought it up or somebody
no,
else?
No, I know. I know what you're about to say about the whole thing of
that they have the greatest fans. They think
yes.
And in actuality, they're no better than anybody else.
I think it was on the roundtable you guys were talking about.
I think
about
you're right. I think you're right. Andrew Abbott, Cincinnati Reds lefty, who stymied the Padres earlier this year, goes against the Colorado Rockies tonight in Cincinnati. 6.5 strikeouts. Scrab, you feeling that?
Under. Yeah.
That's the Rockies. What do I say about the Rockies when they're on the road, Scraby?
They can't hit until they get to San Diego.
Until they get here. I hate to say this, but it's true. Rockies still only have one series victory on the road this year.
Oh, my God.
You know what it was.
Was it this one?
Of course. They swept the Padres here at Petco Park. That's the only road series they've won. Also, baseball tonight up in Anaheim. Big wager here. Bruce Bochy's Rangers favored by a run and a half over the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I'll go first.
Okay.
Texas Rangers 6 games back. Angels 10.5. Rangers have won 3 in a row. They keep it going. I'll take Texas. How about you, Scrape?
Yeah, I'm going to go Rangers, too.
I don't see Mike Trout or Anthony Rendon anywhere in sight.
Yeah. There's been some rumblings that Mike Trout's going to return soon-ish.
Soon-ish? Yeah. Like 2026?
Hey, we got our own guys to worry about in IL.
All right. Everything else is Wimbledon because we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. I told you about Emma Navarro. She's the 19th ranked player in the world. She polished off Coco Gauff yesterday. She moves into the quarterfinals against the 7th seed, Jasmine Paolini.
Oh.
Who was in the finals of the French Open just a few weeks ago.
Okay.
Navarro is favored by 2.5 games, even though Paolini is coming off a finals appearance at the French Open. So who are you going to go with here? You going
to the favorite.
Take the American, Navarro?
Yeah, the favorite.
She's the favorite. She just beat Gauff. I'll take Paolini.
Okay.
But I think Navarro's up and coming, for sure. Over-under for that is 22.5 games.
22.5.
That means it's got to go 3 sets. Because in 2 sets, you're probably not going to make it.
What do you?
I'm first. I'll say over. I think it'll be a close match.
I'll say over, too. I'm going to follow your lead on that.
I'm going to follow my lead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the men's side tomorrow, number one, Jannik Sinner takes on number 5, Andrei Medvedev. Sinner favored by 5.5 games in this quarterfinal match. Scraby.
Medvedev is always there. I'm going to take Medvedev.
Medvedev plus the points.
Yeah, I need it.
You get 5.5. Yeah, Sinner's 42-3 this year. That's the reason why he's number...
Yeah, that's really good.
It's really good. But Medvedev does play, you know, he's going to make him work this. I'm going to take Medvedev, too.
All right.
And then finally, the other quarterfinal being played tomorrow, number 3, Carlos Alcaraz, takes on number 12, American Tommy Paul, over under 38.5 games. I'm going to go under. I think it'll be a 4-set, maybe even a 3-set match. Alcaraz is much better than Tommy Paul.
Yeah, I'll say under, too.
Okay.
Poor Tommy Paul.
Tommy Paul is the highest-ranked American right now.
Never
just ahead of our guy, Taylor Fritz.
Interesting.
But Fritz is gaining ground quickly. Both of them are in the quarterfinals, and Americans don't normally do well at Wimbledon. All right, there's our Daily Gambit. Coming back with Matt Snyder, CBS Sports, talking baseball. Whoa. Welcome back to the program. 3:36 is the time. Chris Hello. Tony Gwynn Jr.'s idol today. Matt Scraby alongside the Odyssey Palace. Tony back tomorrow? I'm assuming so.
Yes.
With the Padres back in action tomorrow. We'll be on from 2 to about 5:15 tomorrow.
5:35.
Well, I believe the game starts at 6:15 tomorrow.
Whoa.
So
really?
That's why I'm saying what I'm saying here.
Good job.
I believe.
Did not pick that up.
I believe the game starts 20 minutes early tomorrow.
The heck?
Yes, I'm not quite sure why that is.
No, it says 6:40 on my app, but that doesn't mean the
Your
app's right.
App says 6:40.
Doesn't mean it's right, though.
The ESPN Padres schedule says 6:40.
The day after is a 3:40 start. So maybe that's
And my schedule on that said 3:15.
Interesting.
So I wonder why my schedule was erroneous, but it's okay. 6:40 tomorrow and 3:40, so we'll have a very short show then on Wednesday.
Yes, unfortunately.
And then after a week off, Thursday, the roundtable returns. I did without a roundtable
week. You were celebrating with fireworks all over the place.
Fireworks and golf.
That's right.
Thank you for putting me on the air the other day to talk about my round
course
at Torrey Pines. Got a lot of reaction to that.
Of course.
Yeah. I think we made it sound probably a little better than it was, but, you know, I survived it, and I'm happy with that.
Now that you're a couple days out, what's your overall feel of the place?
I want to play it again.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do it again now.
Now you know how to play it a little bit.
Well, don't know about that. I just want another chance at it. I felt like I got unlucky with the sand traps, like I was telling you the other day. I mean, they're everywhere, so it's not hard to hit into one. But I feel like 2 or 3 feet either way on a couple of shots, and it would have been a you know, a little different outcome.
And the hard part about those sand traps, too, is if when you're hitting back onto the green, if you don't hit it in the right spot, you may roll off the green on the other side easily.
Some of the sand traps are really, really big, too.
Oh, yeah.
So if you hit out of it from one side, it lands in the other side.
Yeah, you can go sand trap to sand trap,
you
too.
You can do that real easy.
Yes.
So, yeah, I want to play again. I had so much fun. And like I said, Torrey Pines, we take it for granted here. We don't think about it enough, but it's got to be one of the more beautiful places on Earth.
It is. Well, for sure.
Has to be. Yes. You know, the other thing that I noticed when I was done with my round, I went by the golf shop there at Torrey Pines.
It's very expensive in there.
It also looked like it was TJ Maxx on the day after Thanksgiving.
Like nothing was there?
I have never seen so many people. No,
really?
There were hundreds of people in there.
Really?
Buying golf stuff from Torrey Pines.
I never see anybody buy anything because it's like $700 for
sure. Well, that I don't know. I just know that everybody was in there trying to buy something, it looked like.
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
Tomorrow, the Junior World Golf Tournament, for which we were playing in the media, gets underway at courses throughout the county.
They get to play at some good courses.
Yes, they do. They'll have a lot of fun. All right, Matt Snyder from CBS Sports, scheduled to join us. All right, one of our favorite interviews on this program, talking baseball, is Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. And I say that because he just so happens to be on the air right now. I don't say that only because he's on the air. I also say it because I really do like chatting with him about the national pastime. Matt, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm great. About a week until I'll be headed to the All-Star game, so good times.
Always nice. Fun. The All-Star game, I think, you know, that's the part we don't get. It's just how much fun it is for everybody to go be there, the event. I know teams, you know, front office people don't get a chance to see each other all year, get to get together at the All-Star game. Is the All-Star game the unofficial place where some of the trade talking begins?
I don't know about that. I've never heard anything like that it's special for that or anything. And I mean, in this day and age, that's why I always think that the winter meetings have gotten to the point where it's kind of worthless, because people talk with technology all the time these days. But I guess it is better to meet face to face. So I suppose it's possible. We've seen deals come together shortly after the All-Star game. Remember Manny Machado to the Dodgers? That was pretty quick. Like, from the Orioles to the Dodgers, that was pretty quick, like right after the All-Star game. So, yeah, I suppose it's possible. I'd never even really thought about that before.
Yeah. One thing we always think about this time of year, once the All-Star selections are announced, are some of the snubs. And you wrote about that today in CBSSports.com. One thing you didn't have to mention in your article was any Padres getting snubbed. We got everybody and then some to the All-Star game. Were you a little surprised that the Padres ended up with five? I mean, we're kind of in the same neck of the woods as the Phillies and Dodgers with that.
Yeah, not really, because if you look at the individuals who all made it, they're all worthy. So it's not like anybody is kind of out of whack and they don't deserve to make it. It just so happens that they're a pretty top-heavy team this year. And you know, even if you lumped in players that are generally all-star caliber, like Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, there's a lot of star power on that team. It's just kind of thin. I didn't think, like I said, I thought they all deserved to make it. So, you know, I didn't have a problem with it at all.
Even Arise, because I've seen some, maybe it's the analytic people who want to pick on Arise because he, you know, doesn't put up the power type numbers.
Yeah.
I love to watch this guy hit, so I'm happy he's in the All-Star game. But do you think that people who have a gripe, do they have a real gripe or no?
He would be the one where possibly you could argue against that. I'm trying to think of who, like, if Christian Walker should probably be on the team, but I would have Christian Walker before Pete Alonso, for example. I think it makes the team more well-rounded. I'm sure that it's completely driven by batting average, and there are a lot of people who don't like bothering with batting average at this day and age. I still maintain that while it's the third most important raise stat, because it's not as important as on-base percentage, it's not as important as slugging percentage, it's still important. And when the league average isn't down in the 240s and you've got a guy hitting over 300, he's valuable. So I think you can justify it.
Talking to Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, Jackson Merrill, it was a nice surprise for us all here in San Diego to see him make it to the All-Star team. And it's not like he's just being thrown in because he's a rookie and they need his name out there. What have you do you think he was, A, deserving of an All-Star spot, and B, what have you thought of his season so far?
Yeah, he was definitely deserving. I mean, I think maybe you could make an argument for, like, Brandon Nimmo over him or something, but that's unexciting there. And, you know, I don't think that you should change your criteria or anything to make room for something like this, but I think you've got to give him credit when he'd never played center field before this season and he learned it on the fly in the spring. And then to be in double digits in home runs and stolen bases, that's a well-rounded player right there. So, I am perfectly good with him being on the team. Even if he was one of the last guys taken, I like having him there. I think it's a good selection.
Matt, I don't know if you heard, he's the first Padre rookie ever to make the All-Star team.
Ever?
Yeah.
No, I did not hear that.
That is crazy. I thought for sure. I just thought off the top of my head that Benito Santiago, who was a rookie of the year back in the day, had made an All-Star, but apparently not. So,
well,
just a little
didn't he have a long hitting streak? Maybe his hitting streak was after the All-Star
break. It must have been after the All-Star break. Absolutely, yeah.
That's one thing that sticks out in my mind as a kid was the long hitting streak, and he was Rookie of the Year. So, yeah, I would have thought that too.
Yeah, yeah, Jackson Merrill's the first. There are 32 guys that are first-time All-Stars overall, and probably a few more will be added, you know, in the days to come. Does that tell us anything? What it tells me is that guys are better sooner than they ever were before.
Yeah, I think so. It probably started back in 2011 with Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado all coming up together and kind of taking the league by force. And then it continued with Ronald Acuna Jr. and Juan Soto at such a young age. And now it continues up through this generation. Guys, like you said, they're better than ever at a younger age. But also there's veterans in there that are first timers, like Seth Lugo, and like age 34, putting it all together. So there are good stories sprinkled throughout in terms of like a broad takeaway. Other than the players are better than ever at a younger age, no, not really. It's kind of a coincidence, I think, like I said, because you mix in guys like Lugo, who are first-timers as veterans, or Jurickson Profar, for example, just putting it all together finally after all these years. We just had a lot of stuff coincidentally happen this season.
It is true. There has been a lot of stuff that's happened. And you just mentioned Jurickson Profar. We're talking to Matt Snyder of CBSSports.com. And I was saying this on Friday. It seems like Jurickson Profar is annoying to everyone except for Padres fans, because it seems like everyone has an issue with something that he does, whether he runs around the bases too slow or he celebrates a walk-off hit too much. What are your thoughts on Profar? Do you think he's kind of annoying?
No, not at all. I'm not a Padres fan, so there you go.
There we go.
I have not heard of this annoyance, though. Well, I mean, when he's not running the bases as fast as he's protecting from injury.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the celebration thing is absolutely nonsense, because everybody, not everybody, but a lot of guys celebrate. That's weird. No, I think what sums up Profar to me, the way he's put everything together this year, and they've needed him because Machado started slow, Bogarts went down, Tatis is down right now. He had to step up, and he's stepped up and then some. But a perfect illustration for me is that game last week, Wednesday or Thursday. No, I think it was Friday.
When
they brought in Robert Suarez. Yeah, and he gave up the grand slam, and then he gave up that two-run bomb to Randall Grichuk, and then Profar led off the bottom of the ninth with that home run. It's like that was a perfect illustration of what he's meant to this team. It's when everything else goes wrong, there's Profar right there to pick everybody up.
Yeah, I said the same thing about Profar. I don't think he's the MVP of the league, but he's done MVP-type things. You know, those are kinds of things that happen. Let's go right real quick back to Jackson Merrill. Paul Skenes is a revelation. The fans in San Diego are already mad because they think Jackson Merrill's going to lose the Rookie of the Year to Paul Skenes. I don't know if they'd be right to be mad, but how do you see that, or is it too early to tell? Because Skenes seems like he's almost
probably
a gimme.
Yeah, it's probably too early to tell because Skenes has only had 10 starts, By the end of the year, you don't know, are the Pirates going to shut him down? Are they going to limit his workload? They were handling him with kid gloves at the start of the year. So it's hard telling how much of a workload he's going to have. But let's say if he ends up around 100 innings, gosh, it's awfully tough for me to give it to a pitcher with only 100 innings, you know?
Oh,
but if he gets up to like 135 to 140, he's probably going to have so much value there that you'd have to give it to him over Merrill. It'll be interesting to see how both play in the second half. And again, how much of workload the Pirates allow Skeens to take on. But Skeens obviously would be the sexy pick. It seems like that's all anybody wants to talk about. And he might start the All-Star game, which would be amazing. He's the first ever guy to be drafted number one overall and then make the All-Star team the very next year. So that's a heck of a story. It's just, it's only 10 starts. It's not even 60 innings. So what kind of workload is he going to end up with?
This is why I love Matt. He has everything in perspective. Because
we have a chance for Jackson Merrill to still win because there's people like Matt out there.
Exactly. And I saw this, I got a newsletter every day from a baseball site. And it said Paul Skeens, it was going through all the big things he's done so far this year. And it said, struck out Ohtani on three pitches over 100 miles an hour. No one talks about the next at-bat when Ohtani took him deep for a two-run shot. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand the Paul Skeens
love. He's 5-0 with a 2-something ERA.
And
he's doing okay.
For the Scraby Show, I'm going to go over his run support because he's getting help from the run support as well, Chris.
Okay. All right.
I was curious to see. Obviously, anybody who says that people think WAR is the only stat that matters, that's nonsense. It's just a tool. It's a catch-all. They're in essentially a dead heat in WAR right now. BaseballReference.com's version, Jackson Merrill's 2.5 WAR, Paul Skeens is 2.6. So if somebody was looking at that, they're in a dead heat.
All right, real quick, Matt, trade deadline. If you're the Padres, you just had a nice run. You won 12 out of 15 games, but you also just heard that Yu Darvish is on personal leave and may not be back at all. We don't even know. And some of these teams in the wild card are 2-3 games behind. You know, a couple of them are going to make a run. So the Padres probably have to do something, don't they? And if so, you know, would it be a tinker thing, or do you think that they can pull off something big? I mean, AJ Preller, I guess we never know.
He's a mad scientist. So, yeah. If you look at the construction of the roster, you have to be all in. Right. You have to pretty much do whatever you can to make the playoffs and hope that they make a deep playoff run. Otherwise, what are we even doing with all these huge contracts? And you know, I know they traded Juan Soto 1 year away from free agency, but still the rest of the makeup of the roster says win now. Look, we just saw the Diamondbacks make the World Series from 84 wins last year. The Padres team 2 years ago was maddeningly inconsistent and they never got Tatis back and they were waiting all year for that. And they ended up in the NLCS. So they know all too well that all you've got to do is make it there and then anything can happen. So I think they've got to be all in. It's just, it's so hard to find the sellers right now. Like, I think that the Blue Jays and Tigers have probably fallen enough down that you can say they're sellers. But, you know, and we see a report about the Rangers, maybe they'll be sellers now. But above them in the American League, the Rays are too close, even though they just traded Savale. That was to make room for Shane Boz. But there's, you know, 9-10 teams in contention. On the National League side, the Cubs have the third worst record after the Marlins and Rockies, who are obvious sellers. But the Cubs are 5.5 out. It's kind of hard to sell when you're 5.5 out, I think.
Welcome back to the program. 3:36 is the time. Chris Hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is idle today. Matt Scraby alongside the Odyssey Palace. Tony back tomorrow? I'm assuming so.
Yes.
With the Padres back in action tomorrow. We'll be on from 2 to about 5:15 tomorrow.
5:35.
Well, I believe the game starts at 6:15 tomorrow.
Whoa.
So
really?
That's why I'm saying what I'm saying here.
Good job.
I believe.
Did not pick that up.
I believe the game starts 20 minutes early tomorrow.
The heck?
Yes. I'm not quite sure why that is.
No, it says 6:40 on my app, but that doesn't mean the app's right.
Your app says 6:40.
Doesn't mean it's right, though.
The ESPN Padres schedule says 6:40.
The day after is a 3:40 start. So maybe that's
my schedule on that said 3:15.
Interesting.
So I wonder why my schedule was erroneous, but it's okay. 6:40 tomorrow and 3:40 So we'll have a very short show then on Wednesday.
Yes, unfortunately.
And then after a week off Thursday, the roundtable returns. I did without a roundtable last week.
You were celebrating with fireworks all over the place.
Fireworks and golf.
That's right.
Thank you for putting me on the air the other day to talk about my round of Torrey Pines. Got a lot of reaction to that.
Of course.
I think we made it sound probably a little better than it was, but, you know, I survived it. And I'm, you know, happy with that.
Now that you're a couple days out, what's your overall feel of the place?
I want to play it again.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do it again now.
Now you know how to play it a little bit.
Well, don't know about that. I just want another chance at it. I felt like I got unlucky with the sand traps, like I was telling you the other day. I mean, they're everywhere, so it's not hard to hit into one. But I feel like 2 or 3 feet either way on a couple of shots, and it would have been a little different outcome.
And the hard part about those sand traps, too, is when you're hitting back onto the green, if you don't hit it in the right spot, you may roll off the green on the other side easily.
Some of the sand traps are really, really big, too.
Oh, yeah.
So if you hit out of it from one side, it lands in the other side.
Yeah, you can go sand trap to sand trap,
you
too.
You can do that real easy.
Yes.
So, yeah, I want to play again. I had so much fun. And like I said, Torrey Pines, we take it for granted here. We don't think about it enough, but it's got to be one of the more beautiful places on Earth.
It is. Well, for sure.
Has to be.
Has to be.
Yes. You know, the other thing that I noticed when I was done with my round, I went by the golf shop there at Torrey Pines.
It's very expensive in there.
It also looked like it was TJ Maxx on the day after Thanksgiving.
Like nothing was there?
I've never seen so many people. No,
really?
There were hundreds of people in there.
Really?
Buying golf stuff from Torrey Pines.
I never see anybody buy anything because it's like $700 for
sure.
Well,
that I don't know. I just know that everybody was in there trying to buy something, it looked like.
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
Tomorrow, the Junior World Golf Tournament, for which we were playing in the media, gets underway at courses throughout the county.
They get to play at some good courses.
Yes, they do. They'll have a lot of fun. All right, Matt Snyder from CBS Sports, scheduled to join us. All right, one of our favorite interviews on this program, talking baseball, is Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. And I say that because he just so happens to be on the air right now. I don't say that only because he's on the air. I also say it because I really do like chatting with him about the national pastime. Matt, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you? Everything good?
Yeah, I'm great. About a week until I'll be headed to the All-Star game, so good times.
Always nice. Fun. The All-Star game, I think, you know, that's the part we don't get. It's just how much fun it is for everybody to go, be there, the event. I know teams, you know, front office people don't get a chance to see each other all year, get to get together at the All-Star game. Is the All-Star game the unofficial place where some of the trade talking begins?
I don't know about that. I've never heard anything like that it's special for that or anything. And I mean, in this day and age, that's why I always think that the winter meetings have gotten to the point where it's kind of worthless, because people talk with technology all the time these days. But I guess it is better to meet face to face. So I suppose it's possible. We've seen deals come together shortly after the All-Star game. Remember Manny Machado to the Dodgers? That was pretty quick. Like, from the Orioles to the Dodgers, that was pretty quick, like right after the All-Star game. So, yeah, I suppose it's possible. I'd never even really thought about that before.
Yeah. One thing we always think about this time of year, once the All-Star selections are announced, are some of the snubs. And you wrote about that today in CBSSports.com. One thing you didn't have to mention in your article was any Padres getting snubbed. We got everybody and then some to the All-Star game. Were you a little surprised that the Padres ended up with 5? I mean, we're kind of in the same neck of the woods as the Phillies and Dodgers with that.
Yeah, not really, because if you look at the individuals who all made it, they're all worthy. So it's not like anybody is kind of out of whack and they don't deserve to make it. It just so happens that they're a pretty top-heavy team this year. And you know, even if you lumped in players that are generally all-star caliber, like Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, there's a lot of star power on that team. It's just kind of thin. I didn't think, like I said, I thought they all deserved to make it. So, you know, I didn't have a problem with it at all.
Even Arise, because I've seen some, maybe it's the analytic people who want to pick on Arise because he, you know, doesn't put up the power type numbers.
Yeah.
I love to watch this guy hit, so I'm happy he's in the All-Star game. But do you think The people who have a gripe, do they have a real gripe or no?
He would be the one where possibly you could argue against that. I'm trying to think of who, like, if Christian Walker should probably be on the team, but I would have Christian Walker before Pete Alonso, for example. I think it makes the team more well-rounded. I'm sure that it's completely driven by batting average, and there are a lot of people who don't like bothering with batting average at this day and age. I still maintain that while it's the third most important raise stat, because it's not as important as on-base percentage, it's not as important as slugging percentage, it's still important. And when the league average isn't down in the 240s and you've got a guy hitting over 300, he's valuable. So I think you can justify it.
Talking to Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com, here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, Jackson Merrill, it was a nice surprise for us all here in San Diego to see him make it to the All-Star team. And it's not like he's just being thrown in because he's a rookie and they need his name out there. Do you think he was, A, deserving of an All-Star spot, and B, what have you thought of his season so far?
Yeah, he was definitely deserving. I mean, I think maybe you could make an argument for, like, Brandon Nimmo over him or something, but that's unexciting there. And, you know, I don't think that you should change your criteria or anything to make room for something like this, but I think you've got to give him credit when he'd never played center field before this season and he learned it on the fly in the spring. And then to be in double digits in home runs and stolen bases, that's a well-rounded player right there. So I am perfectly good with him being on the team. Even if he was one of the last guys taken, I like having him there. I think it's a good selection.
Matt, I don't know if you heard, he's the first Padre rookie ever to make the All-Star team.
Ever?
Yeah.
No, I did not hear that.
That is crazy. I thought for sure. I just thought off the top of my head that Benito Santiago, who was a rookie of the year back in the day, had made an All-Star, but apparently not. So,
didn't he have a long hitting streak? Maybe his hitting streak was after the All-Star
break. It must have been after the All-Star break. Absolutely, yeah.
Because that's one thing that sticks out in my mind as a kid was the long hitting streak, and he was Rookie of the Year. So, yeah, I would have thought that too.
Yeah, yeah. Jackson Merrill's the first. There are 32 guys that are first-time All-Stars overall, and probably a few more will be added, you know, in the days to come. Does that tell us anything? What it tells me is that guys are better sooner than they ever were before.
Yeah, I think so. It probably started back in 2011 with Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Manny Machado all coming up together and kind of taking the league by force. And then it continued with Ronald Acuna Jr. and Juan Soto at such a young age. And now it continues up through this generation. Guys, like you said, they're better than ever at a younger age. But also there's veterans in there that are first timers, like Seth Lugo, and like age 34, putting it all together. So there are good stories sprinkled throughout in terms of like a broad takeaway, other than the players are better than ever at a younger age. No, not really. It's kind of a coincidence, I think, like I said, because you mix in guys like Lugo, who are first timers as veterans, or Jurickson and Profar, for example, just putting it all together finally after all these years. We just had a lot of stuff coincidentally happen this season.
It is true. There has been a lot of stuff that's happened. And you just mentioned Jurickson and Profar, talking to Matt Snyder of CBSSports.com. And I was saying this on Friday. It seems like Jurickson Profar is annoying to everyone except for Padres fans, because it seems like everyone has an issue with something that he does, whether he runs around the bases too slow or he celebrates a walk-off hit too much. What are your thoughts on Profar? Do you think he's kind of annoying?
No, not at all. I'm not a Padres fan, so there you go.
There we go.
I have not heard of this annoyance, though. Well, I mean, when he's not running the bases as fast as he's protecting from injury.
Thank you.
Yeah. And when the celebration thing is absolutely nonsense, because everybody, not everybody, but a lot of guys celebrate. That's weird. Though I think what sums up Profar to me, the way he's put everything together this year, and they've needed him because Machado started slow, Bogarts went down, Tatis is down right now. He had to step up, and he's stepped up and then some. But a perfect illustration for me is that game last week, Wednesday or Thursday. No, I think it was Friday. When they brought in Robert Suarez. Yeah, and he gave up the grand slam, and then he gave up that two-run bomb to Randall Grichuk, and then Profar led off the bottom of the ninth with that home run. It's like that was a perfect illustration of what he's meant to this team. It's when everything else goes wrong, there's Profar right there to pick everybody up.
Yeah, I said the same thing about Profar. I don't think he's the MVP of the league, but he's done MVP-type things. You know, those are kinds of things that happen. Let's go right real quick back to Jackson Merrill. Paul Skeens is a revelation. The fans in San Diego are already mad because they think Jackson Merrill's going to lose the Rookie of the Year to Paul Skeens. I don't know if they'd be right to be mad, but how do you see that, or is it too early to tell? Because Skeens seems like he's almost probably a gimme.
Yeah, it's probably too early to tell because Skeens has only had 10 starts. By the end of the year, you don't know, are the Pirates going to shut him down? Are they going to limit his workload? They were handling him with kid gloves at the start of the year. So it's hard telling how much of a workload he's going to have. But let's say if he ends up around 100 innings, gosh, it's awfully tough for me to give it to a pitcher with only 100 innings, you know? If he gets up to like 135 to 140, he's probably going to have so much value there that you'd have to give it to him over Merrill. It'll be interesting to see how both play in the second half. And again, how much workload the Pirates allow Skeens to take on. But Skeens obviously would be the sexy pick. It seems like that's all anybody wants to talk about. And he might start the All-Star game, which would be amazing. He's the first ever guy to be drafted number one overall and then make the All-Star team the very next year. So that's a heck of a story. It's only 10 starts. It's not even 60 innings. So what kind of workload is he going to end up with?
This is why I love Matt. He has everything in perspective. Because
we have a chance for Jackson Merrill to still win because there's people like Matt out there.
Exactly. And I saw this. I got a newsletter every day from a baseball site. And it said Paul Skeens. It was going through all the big things he's done so far this year. And it said struck out Ohtani on 3 pitches over 100 miles an hour. No one talks about the next at bat when Ohtani took him deep for a 2-run shot. I don't understand. I mean, I do understand the Paul Skeens love.
He's 5-0 with a 2-something ERA.
And you
he's
know what?
Doing okay.
For the Scraby Show, I'm going to go over his run support because he's getting help from the run support as well, Chris.
Okay. All right.
So I was curious to see. Obviously, anybody who says that people think WAR is the only stat that matters, that's nonsense. It's just a tool. It's a catch-all. They're in essentially a dead heat in WAR right now. BaseballReference.com's version, Jackson Merrill's 2.5 WAR, Paul Skeens is 2.6. So if somebody was looking at that, they're in a dead heat.
All right, real quick, Matt, trade deadline. If you're the Padres, you just had a nice run. You won 12 out of 15 games. But you also just heard that Yu Darvish is on personal leave and may not be back at all. We don't even know. And some of these teams in the wild card are 2-3 games behind. You know, a couple of them are going to make a run. So the Padres probably have to do something, don't they? And if so, you know, would it be a tinker thing, or do you think that they can pull off something big? I mean, AJ Preller, I guess we never know.
He's a mad scientist. So, if you look at the construction of the roster, you have to be all in. Right. You have to pretty much do whatever you can to make the playoffs and hope that they make a deep playoff run. Otherwise, what are we even doing with all these huge contracts? I know they traded Juan Soto 1 year away from free agency, but still the rest of the makeup of the roster says win now. Look, we just saw the Diamondbacks make the World Series from 84 wins last year. The Padres team 2 years ago was maddeningly inconsistent and they never got Tatis back and they were waiting all year for that. And they ended up in the NLCS. So they know all too well that all you've got to do is make it there and then anything can happen. So I think they've got to be all in. It's just, it's so hard to find the sellers right now. Like, I think that the Blue Jays and Tigers have probably fallen enough down that you can say they're sellers. But, you know, and we see a report about the Rangers, maybe they'll be sellers now. But above them in the American League, the Rays are too close, even though they just traded Savale. That was to make room for Shane Boz. But there's, you know, 9-10 teams in contention on the National League side. The Cubs have the third worst record after the Marlins and Rockies, who are obvious sellers. But the Cubs are 5.5 out. It's kind of hard to sell when you're 5.5 out. I think the Nationals seemed like they would be a seller, but they're only 5 out. It's going to be tough because there are teams. Let's say the Orioles, for example, if they decide to flex their muscles, they have so much more prospect depth than the Padres do, and they desperately need starting pitching and bullpen help. It's going to be tough out there.
I think that's kind of what baseball had in mind, you know, by by extending the wild card to keep more people in it and keep there from being a bunch of sell-offs in the month of July. Matt, always great talking to you. Enjoy the All-Star game and the festivities next week. And I can never thank you enough for, you know, consistently coming on our show and making time for us. We really do appreciate it. Thanks again, and look forward to talking to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Matt Snyder, very good, from CBS Sports. Well, the Skeens thing I like because in his mind it's not a guaranteed done thing. I think in a lot of people's mind it is. Skeens is the rookie of the year, and tough if you're Jackson Merrill. But he's bringing up some points that are fair, and that is how much is Skeens going to end up pitching? You know, if Jackson Merrill plays every day in center field for a whole season...
She basically is.
That's got to come into be part of the equation.
It definitely does. If you're just looking at regular social media for MLB, there's two players that they really want you to love. Shohei Ohtani and Paul Skeens.
Yeah.
They force those guys on all of us.
All right, we're going to...
Am I too much of a hater today, Chris?
No, you're good.
Okay.
Plus, you're tired. You stayed up all night.
I'm really like more tired than I've been in a long time, and really am mad at the dogs right now.
And apparently, you get mean when you're tired.
I do get a little mean.
All right, Chris versus the fans coming up next. 833-288-0973. Trivia time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.